Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
We know we're getting a special coach and a special person, and we just want to welcome Fred and his family to Chicago and to the Chicago Bulls organization.
You know, even last night when we got the deal finalized, I was talking to Carol, and, you know, is this really what we want to do? And there's been rumors before. I mean, there's been a lot of rumors about me making the jump to the NBA. I did want to do it, but I wanted to find the right opportunity in the right situation, and that's what we found. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Freddie Hoiberg. Welcome back to Cap and Hop. Brian Campbell is in. David's in Tampa. And Mark Carmen, who writes for FanSided, works here at the radio station, and has covered the NBA for many, many years, is in the studio with us. So this exhaustive search, Mark, that Gar said they were going to start on Wednesday, Thursday? Exhaustive search is over, and he's already agreed to a 5-year, $25 million deal. What's your take on all this?
I mean, I was pretty impressed, Cap, how quickly they did it. I mean, I don't know how they found him and got him over here.
Search firm, all that.
It's a 5-hour drive from Ames, Iowa to get to the beautiful Advocate Center. So this was pretty impressive by Gar and company. But it was interesting that Gar got up there last week and tried to sell that, you know, they're going to have this search and then didn't. And Gar is known, at least at times, depending on, well, most who you talk to, will bend the truth a little bit, if not a lot. So and this is nothing that this is, I would throw into the old white lie, no big deal. But they could have come out and said, we have a preferred candidate, something like that. I mean, Casey Johnson's put that out there, and I think that's a fair way they could have gone about it. But regardless, they hired a guy that seemingly has a great chance to succeed, and he is the absolute perfect person. Do you guys realize this? I mean, this dude, you can't be more perfect than Fred Hoiberg. Grew up, was the high school quarterback, was the incredible basketball player.
Averaged 38 a game in high school.
Right. His parents were both teachers, okay? Everybody wants Fred Hoiberg to play for him, stays at the local school, hometown hero, takes the Cyclones to the tournament. You've got people in town, right?
Married the high school sweetheart.
Married the high school sweetheart. She was there yesterday. 4 kids. You've got, let's continue on here. You've got people doing write-in candidates. That's how he got the mayor. They wrote him in for mayor. That's how he became the mayor. There was literally people in town that want to make this guy the mayor. Then he gets drafted, second-round pick. Don't think he's going to make it into the league. There he goes.
10 years.
10 years. Indiana, Chicago, Minnesota, Midwestern guy. Has the heart ailment. That's a nice kind of tug at the string story. Cap, you have that yourself.
Yep.
Comes back, becomes an executive, then goes back to the hometown, to his alma mater, leads him back to the tournament for the first time in 7 years, has an incredible run. Now they bowed out this year, but a great run, and now he gets to come back to where he played, Midwest. I mean, most people in Ames, Iowa, they're probably Bulls fans. This is the most perfect person on earth. That's who they hired.
All right, so Brian and I both know Tibbs away from the basketball court. I didn't cover the Bulls beat. He's a hockey player. We both like Tibbs. Are the Bulls better off because Tibbs is no longer the coach? I say yes, simply because of the cancerous environment that relationship was. But I think Tom is a phenomenal basketball coach, and I'd hire him if I owned a team.
Right. Well, you can't really answer that, Cap. I mean, the way I look at it is that I don't know if they're better, but they're certainly going to be different. You never heard Tom Thibodeau say, at least with conviction, that Fred said it yesterday, I love this roster. We can play big. We can play small. We can do a million different things. They are going to play a completely different style of basketball. They're going to be up and down the court. If you look at Hoiberg's teams at Iowa State, first of all, in the last 3 years, they were 13th, 5th, and 4th in scoring, okay? I mean, they score the basketball.
In the country.
In the country, okay? And they did not play any defense. 245th, 275th, 269th the last 3 years, okay? They shoot a ton of threes. They were first in 2013, shooting 878, 10th in 14, and then 40th last year. So this guy is going to play an up-and-down style. Nico's going to get a ton of burn. You would think McDermott and Snell are going to get an opportunity. It's going to look different. They're not going to be the same Bulls. They're not going to walk the ball up the court, and they're not going to be having a ton of 24-second shot clock violations like they did in the playoffs this year. It's just going to be a different style. I don't know if it'll succeed, but it'll be different.
Mark, I know with Fred coming in, he uses the analytics a little bit more. I was never a big fan in hockey until I was having dinner with my owner in Florida, and the analytics guy came over, and he's like, oh, who's the best guy on the team? And he pointed at me, and now I'm like the biggest analytics guy ever. I think it's the best thing in the world. I think everything should be done by analytics. So I know in basketball, it sounds like Fred's going to bring a little bit of this into basketball. What are your thoughts on that, and how can that help the Bulls?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because now it's all, you know, James Harden and Steph Curry. These are the most efficient players because they shoot the three at such a high percentage that it's so much better than the mid-range game. So he was asked a question about that yesterday. Brian said, you know, how do you feel about the analytics and the mid-range game? He's like, well, you know, we do pay attention to it. And then he proceeds to say, only 12% of our shots last year were taken from the mid-range. I'm like, okay. I mean, you're more than paying attention to it. For you to, like, rip that stat off sitting there at the, you know, the Fred Hoiberg-Gar Foreman press conference, I think it's something that he obviously pays attention to. And this is a smart guy. This is your straight-A student type, so I'm sure he's up with the Joneses as far as what's going on in the league. And you see the Warriors in the finals. It's something to look at.
The Bulls, there are people at the facility, on the business side and the basketball side, who hated Thibs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had people tell me he's the devil himself. I don't see that. I like him. He's got a phenomenal record. Do you think that him being out of there, as Casey Johnson wrote in his story, the black cloud has been lifted. The storm clouds are gone, and now they've got this player's coach. Do you believe that?
I don't think necessarily from a player standpoint that they're feeling that way. I think maybe there's some relief from some of them, and perhaps. I mean, Tony Snell's there yesterday. Doug McDermott's there yesterday. I don't think there's any real coincidence there. But those guys got to be looking at it like, hey, I'm probably going to get more playing time. They maybe would have gotten it with Tibbs too, but I think they probably look at it like it's a fresh start. Nico, I'm sure, was very upset. I know was very upset with his playing time in the playoffs this year. So he's probably looking at it that way. But as far as the organization, Gar, Pax, I'm sure they're absolutely thrilled. And they do feel like this whole storm cloud that's been hanging over them, how are we going to get out of them? How are we going to get them out of here? How are we going to sell it? Which they clearly have been trying to do for a long time. I think that part is probably
coach GM relationship. If your GM and your coach were feuding openly in a situation on a team with championship expectations, does that filter down to the players?
Not unless it disrupts the team. And when I say that, if it's saying a coach or a GM is saying, I want you to play this guy more, and it doesn't benefit the team, that makes guys very upset. If I'm not playing as much because the GM, and I feel like I'm better, but the GM is saying, I want this guy played, as long as, you know, Fred can go in there, Hoiberg, and have control and say, hey, this is what we're doing, that's great. I think then players respect that. But when it starts dealing with the players and it upsets the players and the chemistry, then, but if they're just fighting between themselves, go ahead.
Well, see, and I think that that maybe was going on. You could at least, I don't have any, nobody's ever said that to me, but if you look at the way they used Nico and from what you think Tibbs thought of him, not necessarily that he couldn't maybe be a decent player down the line, although I'm sure he's pretty skeptical on that too, but definitely like, hey, you're handing me this guy, you think he's great, well, he's not. He can't play D at all, he hurts us, I'm not going to play him. Same thing with McDermott. At the beginning of the year, Tibbs said, you know, no team in the history of the NBA, if you have to go back all the way to 1975, the Golden State Warriors, that had two rookies that won, playing significant minutes, that won an NBA championship. So there might have been some of that as far as, hey, I'm not going to give these guys an opportunity because despite the fact that you think they're great. And maybe he didn't have perhaps an open mind towards that as he could have.
Yeah, I think with Stan's not telling Joel how to coach, and I know Theo's probably not telling John Madden how to coach. I think, like, when you walk into a room, you want that coach to be your leader, because players, that's our leader. So as long as they walk in and Hoiberg has their attention, then I think it's great that way.
Do you think a coach has a responsibility to also develop young players, or, as Thibs would say, I'm paid to win games, and I'm going to play the guys that I think help me win on that night?
I think you have to play your young guys, but you have to find the right chemistry with it. You can't – guys know that young guys are coming. Older guys know that young guys are coming. They want their jobs. But if it just keeps not working and not working, then you have a problem with the older guys and an issue. And I know I'd be pretty upset if I was in that locker room.
You got to – I mean, when Tom really sits back and looks at how this went, I think one thing that perhaps he'll consider going forward – is that, hey, well, you know, it is an 82-game season, and times are changing. So maybe I have to adjust at least slightly. But, I mean, that would be a huge leap for Tibbs, if because you know, you hear him say time and time again, look at how many minutes Tim Duncan played when he was with the Spurs. Look at, you know, Michael and Scottie with the Bulls. These guys played a lot of minutes, so he might not change his philosophy at all, but it's happening around the league. I mean, guys, Golden State was very proactive in resting their players this year. So was Atlanta. These were two of the best teams in the regular season. I don't know how guys would feel about that in hockey. You guys, I mean, you play the same season. What happens if they were resting players because, hey, the season's so long? I mean, how do you think that would resonate in your locker room?
Well, I think you look at even the Blackhawks a few years ago took Duncan Keith's minutes down a lot, and I think you need to do that. And, you know, he was playing a ton more, and then they tried to pull him back a little bit to 24. Now they have no choice, but at that point they had a choice. So I think it only benefits it, but obviously once you get to the playoffs, then it's you got to go with the horses that got you there.
When you Mark Harmon is in the studio with us. He covered the press conference yesterday. Do you think the Bulls roster, as currently constituted, can win a title?
Yes, I do. Listen, they were, and I don't know what's going to be for Cleveland next year. Kevin Love has already said he'll be there on opening night, but okay, and he helps them spread the floor. But just let's remember here. It was game four. They were up 11, and we've talked about this, Cap, but they were up 11 with, you know, under a minute to go in the third quarter. LeBron James ended up hitting a ridiculous shot from the corner to win it, and then the Bulls played a very good game five and then fell apart in game six for who knows what the reason was. But the bottom line is they were right there. Can you get past him? I wouldn't bet on it, but I think they have a shot. I think they're right there. There's no point in tearing down the roster right now. You're too close.
I'm not saying tear it down. I'm saying add on. I'm not sure they're good enough as constituted to win the title.
Well, look, Dwayne Wade wants out of Miami, or at least is considering it now that they don't, that he's, you know, put, he wants his contract renegotiated. The Bulls don't have that, those type of dollars. But if you added a guy like that, make a little three guard rotation with D Rose and Jimmy Butler, well, okay. I mean, they have to get very creative. You're going to trade Taj, and then what are you getting back? And defensively, you've got Nico playing with Powell. If you go 4-5 that way, it's pretty weak. But if you look at Golden State, I mean, when they were absolutely annihilating teams this year, Draymond Green was playing the five. I mean, they're playing four guards, and they're all over the place. Can the Bulls play like that? Is Doug McDermott going to step into that type of role and be scoring 10 to 15 a night, and you could play all sorts of matches? I mean, that's what he talked about yesterday. That's a huge leap, but maybe that's what they got to do to try to get past him.
All right, got to take a quick time out. Mark Carman's in the studio. Brian Campbell and I will continue to talk some Bulls and get back into Blackhawks and maybe a little baseball. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV app in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in the app today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them up at 847-544-2228, 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience. Shop app, A-B-T, app.com, pleasing people since 1936. Be right back.